Good evening, it's the Radio City Legends. I'm Steve Hothersall. John Aldridge is away sunning himself. Fear not, Dominic Matteo's in tonight alongside Graham Sharp, who will get the most calls on the Radio City Legends.
Dominic.
01547 209 67. Oh, to be fair, there's lots to talk about on both sides, isn't there?
Yeah.
Title race, will it come off? And of course, Everton and various woes. Whatever you want to get off your chest, 4720 967. Evening, chaps, you okay?
Yeah.
Let's start with this one. Just broken. Aaron Ramsey, Arsenal midfielder, signs £400,000 a week deal to join Juventus. He's agreed a 4-year contract on £400,000 a week. He's going to be the highest earning British player ever. Ever paid on basic salary.
You know what's going to happen tomorrow, don't you? The general manager's going to get
Ronaldo.
Ronaldo. Excuse me.
He probably earns more than that, doesn't he, Ronaldo? There's no way Aaron Ramsey's coming in above Ronaldo, is he?
I doubt it.
Mind you, seen that it was a free transfer, wasn't it? So that's why. That's why it's so high, because it's a free, no fee involved. But still a heck of a lot of money for somebody who.
Again, Arsenal though, Sharpie, letting players' contracts run down, and you're a good player, and again, leaving the club.
I'm interested to know, as players, are you aware what your other fellow teammates are on? And if you see someone sign a deal, so it might be a bit more relevant to Dom in terms of, because the money went up in Dom's era.
Not really.
When someone came in, were you immediately thinking, what's he on? And should I be having a conversation?
I always used to think when you sign your contract, it's your own business, isn't it? I never asked any players.
So you weren't interested in
Asked any players. I remember at Leeds a lot.
Fibber.
A lot. Honestly, I swear down. But you know what you're getting. You don't have to sign it, do you?
Right,
I remember at Leeds that a lot of the boys had in the contracts, if someone came in and got more money than them, they got the same. A lot of the lads had that towards me, I think that was probably about 2002, something like that.
You mean if you were the top player and someone came in?
So say you were like, I don't know, at the time, maybe Harry someone Kuhl. Like Harry Kuehl, and then Rio Ferdinand comes in on that massive sign. He must have went to be the top earner. I think certain players then went to the same.
Right, you never knocked on the manager's door then?
We had it with Lineker. Yeah,
never.
Really?
When Lineker came and there was five or sixes knocking on the door.
Because you knew, did you, straight away?
Yeah, well, you knew, but if they'd paid that much money for him, he's not going to be on Tuppence, is he?
Right.
So right away he came in, and so there was myself, Kevin Ratcliffe, Neville, Reedy.
Did you go in with Nev?
No, Reedy. To be fair, the lad who represented us all. So he went in, and so he obviously knew what Lineker was on. So he came out, and the five of us were happy.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Yeah. So a little bit of people power can pay off.
Yeah, I think it happens, doesn't it? You know, but I think it lends itself to that as well. And as Dom says as well, when you negotiate a contract, you negotiate the best for you. You know, and if you're happy with that, fine. But I think nowadays, if it gets out, you know, there'll be one or two unhappy people.
I think as well, the strikers always used to earn the most money. When I was growing up, you know, like obviously Liverpool, Barnsley, Rushy, I don't know, but I'd imagine they earned the big bucks, and then the defenders and the journeymen in behind probably earned a little bit less. That's just the way it was, but I think football's evolved now where the defenders now can earn equally as much.
Who's the bottom of the pile? Was it the fullbacks?
Well, I played all over, Steve. So probably me. probably the lowest paid.
Oh, well, I'm sure Aaron Ramsey's happy, isn't he?
Oh hey.
£400,000 a week. He's smiling all
What's
the way to Turin, isn't he?
How can you spend that?
He won't like the weather there. Rushy didn't like it.
Didn't work out.
Rushy didn't like it.
All right, let's reflect on the weekend. We'll start with Everton. So a defeat at Watford. By all accounts, they weren't that bad. I don't know whether you saw the whole game or the highlights. What's your impression of the result?
It wasn't great, but I think they've done enough to get something from the game. I think they had a couple of chances. The goal came from a decision where it wasn't a corner, but you've got to still defend it. Defended the first ball, but obviously couldn't defend the second one. And it's disappointing again, 1-0 at Watford. Listen, Watford is a tough place to go. I think they're not a bad side. So he would look at the positives and think, he created a few chances, didn't deserve to lose overall. But again, you know, we talk at one end about conceding goals, but still no threat. You know, and you're looking at, you know, he made the summer signings, the five signings in the summer, which I've talked about all the time, about how they were decent. But we still have not replaced Lukaku 3 years on, is it? Four, I don't know, 3 years, whatever it might be. That's crazy. That is absolutely.
Well, he's criminal.
But you leave it down to, you're leaving it to Nias, who they let go, And then you've got Calvert-Lewin, Tosin, and you'll see Richarlison. There's the three. I hate to say it, but they need better than that. They need proven goal scorers. And yeah, they haven't maybe have a run of games, consecutive games, but no, I think, you know, whilst we lament about the defending and everything else, we're powder puff as well. You know, don't look like we had a few chances on Saturday where Dominic Calvert-Lewin has a header where he needs to do a lot better. And we're huffing and puffing and we're not really being a major threat. And that's so at one end you're conceding and the other end you're not scoring. There's only going to be one result. And I said it last week at the game, I think it was a Wolves game. I'm struggling to see where the victory and a victory is going to come in all the games we've got. And people say, ah, don't be silly. And I'm telling you. You go to Cardiff away, which you expect to win, but they're on the bounce now, two games. And then you're looking at the games. Newcastle away is not easy. West Ham's not easy.
Is Liverpool? You just missed Liverpool out there.
Yeah, well, no, yeah. And then you've got the Derby at home and Chelsea at home. And you're looking at it and you're thinking, wow. And you've got Man United at home and Tottenham away. And you're thinking, I'm not sure where the next one's coming. Listen, and football changes very quickly, but they need to improve quickly. Very quickly.
In 14 games where Everton have gone behind, they haven't registered a single win. I think they've ended up losing 11, drawn 3. But what does that say about them as a group? Does it signify anything to you?
Well, listen, you look at it from the very beginning when he came in at first and they started. I think everybody was happy with the football they played and, you know, it was better. And we went to Arsenal and Man United and challenged. OK, not won the game, but challenged them and ran them close, Liverpool, Anfield as well. So you thought, yeah, there's a little bit of, no hope here, you know, the optimism, you know. But since the Liverpool game, you look at them now and you're thinking, what are they doing? How are they trying to play? What's the system? How are they going to get? How are they trying to score goals? How are they going? They're getting away to get the balls in the box. They're going through the middle, and he's mixed it up a few times and left a few people out, but you still can't get that mix. And obviously we have the Zouma sending off as well, which is going to suspend for a game probably. Which doesn't help, but you know, he's trying to find a formula, and he's went to just having one holding midfield player, and you know, and Ganagay, and he's tried a few things, but it's not working. I think, listen, they were unfortunate at the weekend, but unfortunate is not good. That's what the Everton fans don't want to hear. That, you know, they travel down and expect better from what they're seeing at the moment.
17 points, aren't they, behind six? Was looking there. It's a big gap, that, isn't it, for a club like Everton? You know,
I think people were getting carried away a little bit. I've talked about it recently about the top six. And if I'm honest, miles behind. And yeah, they invested. And over the years, they've invested. But whilst they've invested, they've also got rid of managers.
Yeah.
So you get yourself in that vicious circle where you're inheriting another manager's players. They're on big money. You can't get rid of them, kind of thing. So,
but Chappie, we still thought they were the seventh best team, didn't we? We had that conversation 2 months ago.
Well, I did say, and I thought, like, yeah, of course you were. I still expect us to be above Wolves and Watford, you know, with what you're doing and what you're playing. But all credit to Wolves in particular. But Everton haven't produced. It's as simple as that. If you think if Everton had won a few more games, they'd be easily sitting up there in seventh position. They're what at the moment? They're 4 points behind, 5 points behind Wolves. Easily be.
But also, you look at the teams below them. Yeah. I think Leicester are a better team than Everton.
I think Crystal Palace
have got more potential. No, they've got more than they're showing. Wolves, I don't think the manager's got the best out of them.
Wolves, Watford, West Ham, Leicester. Yeah, I would say that. But in saying that, we've lost to Southampton away, drawn at home against Newcastle. Burnley was probably our last emphatic victory away from home, 5-1. Brighton we get beat to. Palace, as you said, there's always a tough place to go. So you're looking at that, and you're looking from where we are at this moment in time, and I know people won't like me saying that, they've got to finish in the top 10. It's as simple as that. They've got to finish, and I don't know where they're going to get that.
Is the recruitment good enough, Everton, though? I mean, for me personally, I know they've brought some talented players in, but I just don't see any balance in their team.
But what I'm saying is, it's because he's brought in players that he thinks he's going to help the team.
Yeah.
He's also inherited a bunch of players that he doesn't want, but he can't get rid of at the moment because the money runs out after a while. So the owner said, right, okay, fair enough, I'm going to give you that. So he signed the five players who he thinks will help him, which I think they have done in their own way. They've settled into the Premiership. It's the first season. It's always going to be difficult. But it's the rest of them. Yeah. And I think that's what this belief that, oh, Mashiri's thrown his money, we're going to be in the top six. These top six clubs have been in the top six for the last five, six, seven, eight, nine, maybe 10 years. Yeah, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah. So but you should be cementing seventh if you're going to throw the money.
What I'm saying is, but he's went into the side where he's got five players. He's bought five players who he's bleeding into the Premier League, which is fine. The results should be better, of course, they should be. But what I'm saying is, it's still not his team. And I'm saying to you right now, if it was down to him, he would have the five players he signed, and I'm not sure if he'd have many more.
Don, what about the manager then? He's clearly under the microscope. What do you do? Is he influencing the dressing room enough? Can he turn it around? Do you get the feel? I mean, you're not on the inside, so what's your perspective from the outside of what's going on with
for
Everton?
For me, when I've done the show earlier in the season, I thought the jury was out, and I did say that on this show, and I still think it is, personally, in my opinion.
How far out now, then?
But I don't think he's getting the best out of his players. I know you're saying that half the team is probably his players and half isn't, but I still think you've got to have enough about you to get better results. And like you say, for me, Everton should be finishing seventh. And I know that. For whatever reason, he doesn't inspire me, but that's just my opinion looking in from the outside. I don't see enough of Everton. Obviously, Sharpie does, but just watching what I watch and seeing what I see, I don't think he's getting everything out of some of them players. But, you know, you see young lads coming in, Kenny's coming in, you know what you're going to get from people like him, local lads, you get that spirit. But the rest of the team, I don't think they're doing enough.
Well, Dom, don't you think in that point then, that these are the same players that were under Koeman, who were under Martinez?
Yeah.
So does that not tell you something?
Not good enough, yeah. That's what I'm talking about, the recruitment.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, but the recruitment has been over the 3 years with three different managers who, you look at Martinez. Okay, bought some players, and his first year was good. Koeman came in, and the recruitment was mad. It was just mad, and not replacing Lukaku and everything else. So what I'm saying is, these players that we're talking about, you could probably say have not performed for three managers.
Yeah.
So that in its own tells you, who are they going to perform for?
Right. No, sorry.
I'm going to say, let's take a call, because we've got a blue waiting to talk to Sharpie. Let's start the show. We'll talk about Liverpool a little bit later. Let's start with Martin, who's got a few things to get off his chest. Welcome to the Radio City Legends again, Martin. You okay?
Yeah, I'm all right, lads. All right, Sharpie. All right,
Martin. All right, lads.
We were talking Saturday, me and the lads. I was one of them that when Marco Silva got the job, I wasn't for him, I wasn't against him. Couldn't have cared less either way about him, to be honest with you. But I thought, give the lad a chance. Let him do it. Let's see what goes. And for the first, I'd say, 3 months, we weren't half having a go at team. Yeah. Look at Wolves. But now, to me, he's a Martinez Mark II with his defending. I'm sorry, but he is. And what got Roberto Martinez and Ronald Koeman out of jail, by the way, was Romelu Lukaku. And that covered up a lot of sins.
Yeah.
Now, to me, I'm not one for sacking managers either, because I think you can just run in, like you said, to a brick wall, because there's players there that whoever the new manager is will go, you're garbage, you don't want you, but you can't get there because you're sitting there on 90 under grand a week. What I would do, if I was Mashiri, I'd call him in and say, look, you're my man. I went for you. I headhunted you. I wanted you 12 months before, but your coaching staff is abysmal. I'm going to impose some people on you. I'm going to impose Alan Stubbs and David Weir on you to sort the defensive side out. Now, you either like it or lump it, because obviously his coaching staff are like Martinez. This zonal system's a load of garbage. You're marking space, not a man. And I played centre-half. You were a centre-forward, Sharpie. Once you pick up on the fact that centre-back is marking an area, you'll find the weaker of the two and you'll pile four people in on him. Because you know that the other centre-back won't come into that zone because he's got his area to mark. And that's the problem. But when you're picking up man for man, there isn't that problem. And by the way, I'd also have the two full-backs on the post at corners as well. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I spoke about it the other week with Aldo. And why don't they go back to that? And why don't they go back to... What is Bernard going to give you defending the corner? What is Adamola Lookman, Theo Walcott going to do defending corners? Get them up the field, because if you leave three up, they've got to leave four back. And then I remember talking to somebody a long time ago talking about marking and how it's changed in the box and how the box... And what they say now is because The attacking team wants to have as many bodies in the box as possible so they can block people off and run and everything. So what I'm saying is, put the two in the post, but get rid of Lookman, get rid of Bernard, get rid of the smaller players, get them up the field. And then what happens then is that you can then see who you're marking and who you're supposed to be picking up. And I can understand people say, well, we put a lot of players in here so we can block people off. Well, don't allow them to do that. Do something different. Try and throw three up front and leave three up front and see what the opposition do. And I just think at the moment we're setting their ways. Listen, you like to see different things happening. But let me tell you, and firsthand, it's not that they're not working on defending. You know, and I spoke to one of the players and they're working on it all the time. But what basically that tells you is the defenders aren't good enough.
Kane looks like he's gone backwards to me. And he was like one of Burnley's best players. Mm. Had a good upbringing at Man United. He's come to Everton, he's gone backwards. Why is that happening? I think the caller's right. He's talking about players aren't improving. You know, you've got to get better as a centre half. You get better with age, don't you? You get more
experience. What about what they're doing defensively, Dom? Because you played there.
When I've been in teams and you're having a bad time, you've got to sort the back out first and foremost. And Sharpie said they're obviously working on it, but they're not working on it enough. You have to get the back right. If you keep conceding goals, I think Everton have just been looking at 5 clean sheets all season. That's not enough in 27 games for me. It's not good enough for Everton Football Club. They need to be better and they need to be stronger. There's probably no leaders. There's no leaders. I think Liverpool have got a few leaders. Now, Everton haven't got leaders and they need to get one quickly.
And what's your perspective on zonal marking?
I prefer to mark a man, as the caller said. I like to mark a man. If he scores, it's your fault, isn't it? You've got a responsibility. With the zonal, I think it's a bit of a grey area. Sometimes the strikers can get a run on you. And it's hard to pick that, you know, it's hard to get the momentum then, but it's very difficult to do.
Martin, he's not going to change though, is he?
No, well, that's the problem, and that's where it's going to come to a point, because let's be honest, we're as close to the bottom as we are to seventh.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We're as close to getting dragged in as we are to seventh. And as Sharpie said, I think if we finish outside the top 10, whether he likes them or not, he's not Daft Mashiri. He's going to have to get rid, because something's going... Unfortunately, that's the way it is. You can't get rid of players. You just, you know, you can't sack players because you're going to cost yourself money by doing that. So the manager's the easy target.
But Martin, again, and listen, what you're saying is right, don't get me wrong, sorry cutting across you, but what you're saying again, we paid what? Martinez, 13 million quid. We've played Koeman, 8, whatever he is. We've paid Allardyce still for whatever he was, whatever he got paid off. What I'm saying is, you cannot keep... I'm talking about any club. You cannot keep sacking managers, because what happens is what's happened now. And we're only 2 managers, 3 managers down the line. What happens now is you've got a glut of players now who are not the manager's choices, who are sitting on loads of money, as you quite rightly said, 90, 100 grand a week. They're not in the manager's plans. They try to ship them out. Look at Bolasie. Bolasie's going to come back in the summer. Vlasic, Besic, Morales, they're all going to come back in the summer. And what's going to happen then? If you get rid of the manager, all these players are going to be back in situ for whoever the new manager comes in. And the new manager will come in and go, I don't fancy him, I don't fancy him, I don't fancy him, I don't want him. And you can't continue to do it. So what Mashiri's come out and said is, listen, he's our man. You might be right, you might have to pull him to one side and say this isn't good. And I imagine he has done, don't get me wrong. But you cannot continue to sack managers, because all you do is get yourself in a position where you're never going to get anywhere. You need to have a plan and say, this is what we want to do, this is where we want to go. Okay, this isn't good enough. But I just look at it at times and I can understand the frustration, because they should be doing better. But I still am against the fact that if we'd sack Silva, I think we go back down the road and it's putting us back another 3 or 4 years. And when do you stop?
Martin, you've got 10 seconds, so go on. What do you do?
Well, like I said, I don't believe in sacking managers. I never have done. But the problem is the players have the power. But I think as well, we're physically too small and too weak at the minute.
Yeah.
We're getting bowled over because Bernard's the same size as my nephew, who's 10.
That's right.
But like you say, this is the argument.
Martin, we've got to cut you off, because I've got to go to a break. But do you keep him or not?
For now.
All right, top man. Thank you very much indeed. Good first call. You want to follow it up? 0151 4720 967 Radio City Legends. 5 to 7. Good evening. I'm Steve Hothersall. Dominic Matteo and Graham Sharp in tonight. Let's have a thought on the title race. Liverpool beat Bournemouth in great style. It looked brilliant, I thought. And then Manchester City come out and maybe respond in even more emphatic fashion against Chelsea yesterday. It's fascinating, isn't it, to watch it, Tom?
It is, yeah. I think from Liverpool's perspective at the weekend, the balance of the team was better, played a lot better, better in the final third. And I think Wijnaldum back in the team was a big plus. Fabinho was nice and solid in that midfield area. And Naby Keita probably had his best game for me, for the club. And the front three were back on song, you know, in sync again. I think people have said it already. I think Mane's been absolutely outstanding. He's probably been
attacking player this season.
Yeah, he's been so consistent and scoring big goals for us at the right times in games. But I think overall, I think Wijnaldum was great to have him back in. And we look at the way now we've got Alexander-Arnold on the bench, Henderson on the bench. So, you know, with a bit of time now before the next game, obviously Bayern Munich in the Champions League, they've gone away, obviously, training in Marbella, a bit of warm weather training. I think we could have a few more back as well for then. And then you look then to get the Ox back and then to get, you know, Joe Gomez back as well at the end of the season. We need everybody fit, because the one thing I would say is when you looked at Man City yesterday, the players they were bringing from the bench, in my opinion, are a lot better than what we have. So we need to be at full strength at some point this season to keep this challenge going. But we're in a good position. I thought the performance was excellent. You couldn't knock it. I think all over the pitch, the lads were at it.
Do you know what I really liked about it? And before we get to our caller, the three up front reverting to the positions that actually made them devastating last season. Yeah, you've got Salah on the right, Mane on the left, and Firmino in the centre. They love it.
I was doing the game, and before the game I was talking, I'd like to see Firmino a little bit further forward. I think he's been playing a little bit too deep, and he's not been causing teams as much problem because he's been deeper. And as a centre-half, that's fine. Let him go in there and get on the ball, and we'll just stay solid. But I think he played more up against the centre-backs at the weekend and allowed the lads to get in behind the Bournemouth defence. And I thought it worked well. And like you say, maybe back to what we know a little bit.
That little flick by Firmino.
Don't get carried away. It was
Bournemouth. Salah was great. Oh,
still got
to beat
them. You have, but I just
did you
think
them?
Yeah, we did at home. Yeah.
Just checking.
But no, I always thought it was the best game for Liverpool, because they were never going to get. And people talk about the way he plays and all that kind of thing. But Liverpool are always going to score against them. And people talk about they're going. They had a few injuries as well, but that was always going to be a home banker. But just when you thought it was good, City
Smile. Let's talk with our next caller about this one. Is Liverpool's squad strong enough? We got Sam on the line. Evening, Sam.
Hello, Steve. How are you, mate?
Hello, pal. Nice to have you on.
Thanks,
mate. Go on. Is that what you want to talk about, whether they've got enough in depth to get over the line?
Well, yeah, as the point's just being made there, as you're talking about with City, with their depth, like, with Salah, don't get me wrong, the weekend game, I won't comment on that, I thought he was brilliant. The football and that he played, it was flowing well. He played really well right across the park. So, you know, going back to the West Ham and Leicester game, I don't want to speak on the negative points, but when you look at the way City's players from three, like Sane, Sterling and Aguero, they can have a bad game and they can just be the place the next game, and that's what Pep will do. Pep's not shy to do that. But with Liverpool, if our front three have a bad game, like Salah and Firmino, one of the Leicester and West Ham games, they didn't really play too well. I thought Mane didn't do too bad. But we haven't got a good enough squad to drop them three. So, City have, and it's the same across the midfield, really. I just don't think we've got strong enough depth in midfield the way City have.
Sam, I think it was that the first time that someone outside the front three had scored a goal for so many games. I think he was the first player to score, wasn't he, for a while?
Yeah. Since early December.
And that's not a good sign. We need the rest. Like you say, at City, there's goals from all over the park for them. And I think you're right.
Don't get me wrong, I don't blame Klopp. Like, because, you know, at the end of the day, San and mate, it's hard to improve the squad. Like, San and Keita, Fabinho's come in, and I think Fabinho's done really well.
Yeah.
Hopefully, that's a kickstart for Keita for having that great game. We have seen glimpses of him in some certain games where he has been brilliant, but then we've seen glimpses of him where he hasn't. He's had really a bit of a poor game, but hopefully, that's a kickstart. This is hopefully, like, from the weekend, because I thought he played well against Bournemouth.
Hopefully,
it'll get better for him now.
Sam, I think it helped him with Fabinho and Wijnaldum both in the team because, you know, it just gives him a bit more freedom to get forward. And, you know, I don't think defensively he's great. He's one of those players you want to get in the ball in the final third, make things happen. You know, the little ball down the line for Salah, which he played into Firmino for the back heeler. That's where we want to see Keita getting on the ball and doing stuff. And he's not really had that much opportunity to do that. But I think, like you said, I hope it's a kickstart of his Liverpool career. Because
hopefully. hopefully that's what we all look for. Like, as I say, like, even with a touch back to the City away game and touch back to the PSG away game, the midfield Klopp played was Milner, Henderson and Wijnaldum. And I don't think that balance across the middle when we play against the top sides like PSG, like City, I genuinely don't, I'm not saying they're bad players, but I don't think they're good enough then to be in the middle together as a squad to compete against that top level.
Sam, they're the three that he relies on, isn't he?
Exactly.
They're the three when it comes to a big game that he picks.
Game, he'll play them three, which I don't really think that is the best answer for me. Like, we played, was it Arsenal before we played City? Yeah. And I know, I genuinely thought that City game, I thought he tried to play for a draw, which I think, I don't agree with that. I think we should just go out and attack. I genuinely don't think, because I think other clubs should look at us and basically go, these are a threat, let's not look at other clubs, let them think about us.
Yeah, I mean,
do you understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah, most definitely. And I think you're right. I think that that we don't really know any other way to play Liverpool. We you know, I think when you're going to look to get draws, it's not really a Liverpool style of play under Klopp, is it? We go into games looking to win. And maybe you're right. Maybe the City game was a game that he maybe went in to nick a point because it wasn't a bad result at the end of the day. It didn't quite come off. But I think going back to the strength and depth, it was quite frightening yesterday. I mean, Sharpie coming in the office before talking about City. They were great to watch, and it's just every time they make a substitution, you go, wow, is he coming
that's
on?
That's what I'm saying. And their depth is so strong. It's unbelievable.
So
it
Liverpool have got to be injury-free, basically.
No, the only thing I would say as well, Sam, you've lost one game.
Yeah, I know.
Which is like unbelievable. And I can fully understand about the squad depth and all that kind of thing, but when it boils down, you've lost one game. You know, so for all the things...
City have lost four, haven't they?
Yeah, for everybody saying that, oh, you know, we should have won at West Ham, we should have won at Leicester, fine. It's very rarely that you have a season where you just lose one game. I think Arsenal are invincible. So you're still in a position, and people are saying, oh, City, no, you're still in a position where they would rather be, that City would rather be. You know, ahead, when if you win your game in hand, you go ahead of them. So it's not... panic stations and everything else. I still think you're in a position where you deserve to be because you've
yeah, of course. And I genuinely think if you ask any Liverpool fan in the country at the moment, like where we are at the minute, you'd snatch your hand off.
I think any fan would say that,
where we are at the moment, it's a great position. But as he's just said before, we need to keep our front three fit because if we lose one of them, it's going to hit us massively. I hope it doesn't. I hope to God it doesn't, but. Let's just hope for the best, eh?
Sam, brilliant
Cheers,
call.
Sam.
Thank you very much, pal.
No worries.
Cheers, Sam.
Great stuff. Let's move on to the Blues. Lots of callers waiting to come on Radio City Legends with Graham Sharp and Dominic Matteo. Let's talk with Dave next about Everton. Evening, Dave.
Evening, boys. All right.
Evening, Dave.
Just a couple of points early tonight. Obviously, last week I started to come on regards to, you know, the plans for the summer, and we were coming away from the Man City game on Manchester United and putting it to ourselves, you know. There's an overhaul of the squad, really, that needs to be done in the summer. You know, you're looking 13, 14 players, potentially, even including the starting 11. You know, it's going to be a tough job in the summer to get rid of them. You know, like Ashley Williams, your Bezic, your Morales, you know, even Starling. I mean, I'd even go far as saying, you know, Wilfie Citizen. I know, he's a number 10 and he's sort of bit 10, 11 goals this season, what he's done, but he slows everything down. And, you know, you're looking at the starting 11 and you think to yourself, well, you know, we need improving there. We're lacking here, we're still lacking a centre forward. But then the question comes back to another point that I want to make. I mean, I've already had another call on tonight, but is Marco Silva the man to make them switches? Would you give him money in the summer? Would you let him go forward with it? I mean, I know you're saying to your point about like a number of players from like human players, Martinez players still in the squad and players coming back in the summer, the manager's going to look at it again, and I understand that, but for me, I think Silva's stubborn. He's like Martinez, he's set in his ways, you know, that's all no mark and it's not working. I think personally it's not working with the players that we've got, you know what I mean? You can't drive something into the players are not that quality to sort of pick up on it. And to be honest, I'd give him the bullet and I'd go for Conte. Antonio Conte. Don't have to go out and
do you know what? I haven't seen Conte's name mentioned, but I've seen Mourinho's name mentioned
A lot.
Are either of those viable choices? Sharpie might not want to answer this one. What about you, Tom? Either of those viable?
I don't know. I think if I was going to pick one out of the air, like a lot of people are doing, I'd probably say someone like Arteta. I think he's a better
Arteta?
Coach. Well, I just think he's a top coach. He's, you know, I think he's crucial for City, isn't he? I don't know if you get him out of City, but someone like him, he's got a bit of Everton history.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, very well thought of. I mean, obviously, Guardiola loves him, doesn't he? So I'm just plucking one out of the air, Steve. Yeah. Put me under pressure. I wouldn't say Mourinho or Conte would be the answer.
Moyes is the favourite with the bookies.
Really?
No.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's going to be replaced.
With Moyes?
You'd have Moyes?
Well, would you? No, I wouldn't go back with Moyes, to be honest.
No, never die.
I think, you know, you never go back, which are always the old times. You're like, kind of coming back.
Especially the way you left, Dave, and the manner in which you left. Definitely not.
Who would you go for, Sharpie, personally?
Listen, the only thing I'll say to you is, I said to the other caller as well, Dave, it's all right, you get all these names and, oh, we'll get Conte in and we'll get this one in, get that one in, kind of thing. Now, unless they're not going to come in, unless they're going to have a war chest of whatever, millions of pounds kind of thing. But as I said to everybody, I don't think that's going to be available to the manager, simply because of the position we're in after three changes, where we've got this amount of players who, you talk about them all coming back. Now, a new manager come in, will want rid of all them for a start, then he'll want money to bring his own in. And I just think that, you know, we look at it and I think if we change it again, and I know the results are not good enough and I 100% agree with that and it should be better, but I just don't think changing the manager will necessarily get you the right place you want to be. I think we said top six is something that we have to aim for. European football is something that we try and have to aim for every single season. That ain't going to happen overnight. Now, whether Silva's the man to do it or not remains to be seen. That's the choice that the board of directors have got to make. But I just personally seen, listen, it isn't good enough. And for all the supporters that go home and away, they deserve better. But I just think changing the manager so soon again might be the wrong thing to do, simply because I don't think the new manager coming in would get the funds to revamp the squad. And the squad, let me tell you, needs revamping.
Final word from you, Dave, on that?
It definitely does need revamping, but, you know, okay, yeah, as a team, I think we've lost our identity.
Yes.
We need someone now to come out and stamp and say, well, okay, yeah, so is the man we're going forward with. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Get rid of all the speculation. Put it all to bed. Let the fans sort of, obviously, you know, we are restless at the moment. And we need answers. And I think that's the thing. That's the only thing that's going to put it to bed is the answers.
Yeah. All right, Dave.
Come out and back them.
Thank you very much indeed. I mentioned Mourinho there, because a lot of people are talking about him on social media. I don't think Mourinho would want this job over there, would he?
I don't think Mourinho would commit. He didn't really commit to Man U, in my opinion. Yeah. He never moved up there. He was living out of a hotel. You know, for me, if you're going to move somewhere,
that would be a disaster.
You've got to commit, haven't you? You've got to commit to the job.
Let's take a short break, and we'll lighten it up with a little bit of a quiz.
Oh, no.
We're back on pens. Dom concedes this before we've even gone on air.
He's going to earn his money.
You two speak, don't you?
7 minutes past seven, Radio City Legends.
Yeah.
Dominic Matteo, Graeme Sharp. Stop it, you two. Welcome along to Radio City Legends. Graeme Sharp and Dominic Matteo in the studio with myself, Steve Hovis. So before we get to pens, I just want to quickly touch on this story surrounding Bamba's celebration with Cardiff at the weekend. So he's involved in a dramatic win against Southampton, and he ran over to the fans and grabbed this lad called Noah Bushby and broke his glasses while celebrating the goal with him. So Noah put this on social media, and he put a little post which said, "Definitely worth breaking my glasses celebrating with Sol Bamba today." Sol Bamba then tweeted him back and said, "Oh, sorry for your glasses, big man. You hugged me harder than my wife ever did." His wife then chipped into the debate, saying, "Thanks very much. You're in a bit of trouble a little bit later on." But I just wonder, what's the best celebration with a fan you've ever experienced? Have you run into the crowd and sort of been hugged so hard you couldn't get away?
No.
It wasn't really like that. You didn't really celebrate like that. Never had a hug.
In this modern day and age, I quite like the fact that Sol Bamba's hugging supporters.
In our day and age, you would get to that because of his fences up.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? Fair play, Sol, though.
Yeah, a bit of interaction.
Yeah, shows how much he means to Cardiff.
Did he get booked?
Oh, I don't know. Did he? I'm looking at Christian. Yeah, he says, yeah, he did.
Did he?
He won't mind. He's going to pay for his glasses as well.
No, but
anyway.
I'm just saying that the booking kind of thing, it would be an interesting one. Obviously, everybody knows the situation going on at Cardiff and how tough it was kind of thing, but... Does he have a booting? Come on.
Let's shift from there to Pens. Okay, we're on... I haven't got the scores. What is it? Christine, what are we on?
17 each.
17 all. And he's away, John Aldridge. Is it 17 all?
18-17
all, though.
Don't worry, Sharpie.
That's terrible behaviour, Sharpie.
This is how bad it is. Dom already knows one of the questions and he's answered it.
Dom has given you the answer to one of the questions.
So it's just chance, isn't it? Yeah. Whoever gets the number right.
All right, Dom, you go first.
Oh, go on.
Number one.
Stop putting your fingers up and tell me what answer it is. Go on.
Stephen Mann of Perfidy.
Yeah.
Which question are you going for?
Number one.
Liverpool goalkeeper Loris Karius is currently on loan at which football club?
Not a bad one, actually, for me. I don't actually know this one. Besiktas.
Besiktas is the answer.
Excellent. You got that
I'm going to go see McManaman here. It'll be Robbie Fowler.
Go on.
It is Robbie's. It's Robbie's as well.
Three.
What club did Maurizio Sarri manage before Chelsea?
It's Napoli, wasn't it?
Yeah, correct.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
He's obviously been out at the weekend, Christian. These are two of the easiest questions we've had.
I'm just thinking that, yeah.
Yeah, but there's one absolute dud in the pile here.
Yeah. Oh, no, come on.
Go on.
Number five.
Name this mystery voice.
You know who it is? You just know.
A lot of battling, a lot of fighting, everyone runs that extra mile. So,
it's his birthday!
Yes, get in there.
That's scandalous.
Yeah,
that's
47 scandal. Years old today.
Four.
Happy birthday.
That's a scandal.
You're going for number four, are you? Right, Everton beat Cardiff 1-0 earlier in the season. Who scored the Everton goal that day?
Cardiff.
Not spring to mind? Classic performance?
No.
Come on, think of an Everton win.
I can. Everton Cardiff, I'll go Calvert-Lewin.
Oh, dear me!
Oh!
Who was it?
Johnson.
Gylfi Sigurdsson. There you go.
Battered as well, Swansea.
Right.
You got battered.
What's left?
It hinges on this. You've got number six.
Two or six.
And two.
Number six.
What club did Sergio Aguero begin his career at? I told you there's always
this
a dud in the pack.
Obviously, no, Argentina. I'm going to go for...
Tranmere.
Come on.
Atletico Madrid.
It is one of those where you don't want to watch schoolboy football.
Independiente.
Yeah.
So close, so far. That means,
I couldn't think of it.
You have the music question.
Oh, no.
To level it up. Full name of artist song.
He knows his music, Sharpie.
Sledgehammer. And I'm sure it's Peter Gabriel.
Excellent stuff. We go to the tiebreaker. Tom, you threw it away in dramatic fashion.
Independiente, I couldn't
get there. Yeah, Sharpie's in Tranmere in your ear. That's the problem. tiebreak, right. Steven Gerrard and Harry Kane hold the joint record for the most Player of the Month awards.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
Nearest to it, is it?
How many do they have between them? Can I just ask our producer, does that mean how many together, as in...
What was that?
Both together.
So Steven Gerrard and Harry Kane have the joint record for the most Premier League Player of the Month awards.
Right.
But how many do they have between them? In other words, you add their two sets of Player of the Month awards together. Sharpie, do you want to go first?
No. Steven Gerrard, I don't know. Oh, God, mate. He's got to have a right few there, hasn't he? Go on.
I'm going to go 25.
You're going to go for 25. And Sharpie, is it higher or is it lower?
I would say higher. How many was it?
12.
12?
Is that all?
Yeah.
Player of the Month, Steven Gerrard.
Yeah.
Does that mean I win?
Do you know what? Yeah. Maybe put it into perspective. Jurgen Klopp's only won Manager of the Month twice in 4 years. So
how many's Gerrard got? 12?
Why are you arguing with these
Kane's
figures?
Done 13.
Gazer, who?
Keane, between them.
No,
12 between them.
I said, if you listen back.
Oh, my God, no, I wouldn't have said that.
Yeah?
I thought we'd more. Well, I thought 25. Yeah.
Ring Aldo, tell him how well you've done.
Yeah.
Back in the game, Aldo.
Oh!
If you're listening in Portugal.
There you go. Well done. We'll have another Pens on Thursday night.
What did you say, 25?
Yeah.
And the answer was 12. You shouldn't get that.
What did you say?
You were so far
away.
Said
you went higher.
You were so far away, you should have got that.
We're going to get a caller on in just a moment. Just before we do, Leicester play at the weekend, get a penalty, and bring Jamie Vardy off the bench for his first kick of the ball to be that penalty. Is this the wrong approach? Should Jamie Vardy not just be able to kick a ball hard towards the goal?
I didn't hear what their manager said. Did the manager have a comment? I don't think they got on.
Yeah, it's been a tension there,
isn't it? He bombed him out. So I think...
So his head's all over the place, is it?
He will have already said to Maddison, you're taking the pen. And I think it's a boy Madison's decision when he sees Jamie Vardy coming on to say, there you are, you're the penalty taker, you take it. I think the manager would have been fuming.
Right.
Absolutely fuming. I can see why they done it, because if he's the penalty taker and he's confident, then why not? You know, looking at back, and you say, well, probably the wrong thing to do. There you go, happens.
Okay, let's take another call. Radio City legends, Dominic Matto, Graham Sharp. We're talking Liverpool now with Paul. Evening, Paul.
Evening, you're okay.
Hi, Paul.
Evening, fellas.
Paul, what do you want to talk about?
I just wanted to talk about Bournemouth and I think our lack of depth defensively in the squad.
Yeah, what, there's not enough? Or what's your worry?
Well, I mean, the thing is, we've got Alexander-Arnold coming back. Obviously, Lovren's still out injured. I think you're right. I think if Lovren or Gomez are fit, I think they play alongside Van Dijk for me. And I think, obviously, Trent's... I think maybe a mistake was letting Klein go on loan, wasn't it, at that crucial part of the season. When you've got a few injuries there in the full-back position, I think we probably should have kept Ole Klein.
I think with Klein, he's barely played for 2 years.
Yeah.
So I think he probably just wants to put him in the shop window.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But I just think maybe you're right. But I just think at this crucial time of the season when you're struggling for a fullback, and we have brought him in before and he has done well, even though he's been out for a while, he came in. He's a pretty fit lad. And you know what it's like nowadays, the boys look after themselves so well. I just thought maybe that was a little bit of a mistake, but I totally understand that he's not had much football for a couple of years and you'll get him in the shop window and you'll probably end up getting a move to Bournemouth off the back of it. But yeah, I agree, we haven't got the strength and depth maybe that City have, but there is players coming back.
I agree with that, but I also, you're looking, Fabinho's Brazil's right back,
yeah.
So he can do a job.
Yeah, you don't think it's a bit different though when you're playing for Brazil, because I think they've got license to maybe get forward a little bit more than you have maybe like the role that Milner does up against a decent quick winger. I think when you're playing maybe like a wing back as he's played for Brazil, it's a slightly different at times for me.
To an extent, yeah, but I also think that we attack as much as Brazil. We don't have to do a lot of defending.
Yeah.
But going back to my main issue, I'd say it's more about the defensive cover centrally.
Yeah. Do you think if Van Dijk gets injured that we're going to struggle?
If Van Dijk goes, then yeah, we might as well pack up now.
Yeah.
what was the stat that Aldo said the other day about Lovren? About how many games he's only played successive? Seven, is it? Six?
Yeah, six, yeah.
Six games?
Yeah.
Wow.
Prone to an injury or two?
Wow, that's amazing. Amazing stuff.
That's shuffle things around. But first half of the season was built on the defence, wasn't it, as well, Dom? So
yeah, I mean, I think Gomez has been a big miss for me. I think he was excellent. I think he was getting better every game. And obviously, he's another one, though, who's had so much bad luck with injuries over the past couple of years. I just hope he's not another one of those players who maybe, like Lovren, keeps picking up injuries. You know, you need people week in, week out to, you know, partnerships to be forging. And I think that Van Dijk and Gomez one was one that really excited me as an ex-centre-back watching them two develop. But it's just not had the legs, is it, this year?
Paul, we're just going to try and squeeze a few more calls in. So thank you very much indeed, Paul, for your thoughts there. Let's get on to Will, who's a Blue, who's already thinking about different managers for Everton. Evening, Will.
All right, mate. How are we, lad?
All right, Will. You okay?
I don't even know where to start. I really don't.
Would you change him, Will?
Yeah, I'd get rid of him now.
Who would you bring in?
Sharpie, like I've said to you before, mate, in the past, before Marco Silva come in, I've spoke to you before. I've said to, like, see the way interim managers come in. Like, look at Ole Gunnar Solskjaer with United. Yeah. Look at the way United were playing before Solskjaer took over.
Mm-hmm.
The players obviously didn't want to play for Mourinho.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Solskjaer's come in, and the players have turned things around, and obviously the back-to-back wins.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get rid of Marco Silva. Get rid of him. Pack his bags now. Send him on his way and get Duncan Ferguson in there. Like I've said back 2 years of previous times, the players will play for Duncan Ferguson. And I hope Duncan Ferguson's listening now. Big Dunk, get in there, lad.
I think it's Dunk it's rang in.
Jarvie, come on, lad. You could even do a better job than Silva. The players would play for you more than you want to play for the Silva.
But,
you know what I mean?
But
Do you know what,
I'll just say something to you now, and I'll be honest with you here now. It's changed unbelievably now. The game has changed where you get a manager who rules by fear and everything else. It's very rare now that's a success. And the days of coming in and shouting and bawling at people at half time and dragging them round the dressing room at full time is gone. So where you can understand the Duncan thing, yeah, he could do that and he could get them up and all this. It's changed remarkably because they'd probably, if Duncan went in there and started ranting and raving, they'd look at him as if he had two heads and they wouldn't get no response whatsoever. So the game has changed. So I don't know who's out there who could possibly come in.
Sharpie, personally, I think that the players don't want to play for Silva. Like, at the end of the day, at the end of the week, the players are still going to get their wages.
Yeah. Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Whether win, lose, or draw.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? But they're losing all the time to put pressure on Silva.
Mm.
My last words: get him out, get him gone. And Marco, if you're listening, like, I'm sorry, but you're not the man for Everton.
You think the players are purposely putting pressure on the manager?
Well, yeah, because I don't think that the players want to play for him. That's my honest opinion.
Mm. Or that he can't motivate them.
Like Everton of that. I've very rare Everton have done this by getting a ex-player to manage the team for a couple of games or until the end of the season. Every other team in the Premiership do it.
Do you not have a worry, Will, though, that actually Duncan's actually got no history of managing a Premier League team?
That's besides the point. The man's been there from...
But that is the point, isn't it? You need someone with experience to turn the football club around.
They've done it with Unsworth. But he was under 23 managers, so he had a little bit of experience, nothing like a Premier League experience. So they've done it with like David Unsworth kind of thing.
Duncan Ferguson's been a coach for how many years, though? Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
If we carry on with Marco Silva, we might as well just go and get on the phone and get midfach.
But do you not think you'd just be knee-jerking from one manager who hasn't managed for a very long time to another at that point? Do you not think you need some experience?
Everyone else has given other people a go, and he's had hardly any experience. Look at Gerrard, he's gone straight into Rangers. Look at the job he's doing. Do you know what I mean? Good on him. Do you know what I mean? He's doing a magnificent job. But at the end of the day, Everton needs to say to Ferguson, look, take over until the end of the season and see what you can do.
Well, we've got to leave it there. Thank you very much indeed. Everyone's got their own opinion, Sharpie.
Of course, we
might not agree with Will, but Will's very much in Dunk's camp.
Well, sometimes you go look at, you know, Duncan's been there a long time as well, hasn't he? You know, with a lot of people have been around the club a long time as well. Do they need to, you know, maybe change things in bigger ways? I don't know.
Mm. Bit of a break now for...
For
the teams.
That's for us, yeah.
And for you as well. Yeah. Liverpool gone off where? Are they in Dubai, you say?
Marbella.
It's a little bit of warm weather.
It's raining, yeah.
Oh, is it? Why has Aldo been on the phone? That's not where he's gone, is it, as well?
No.
And what are Everton doing?
17 days, isn't it, Sharpie?
17 days. We'll be training with a bit of luck every day.
Right. Here, in England?
I think so, yeah.
Not treated to a bit of sunshine.
Do they deserve it?
Boys, thank you very much indeed. We'll finish on that point. Radio City Legends back on Thursday. We'll see you then. I'll see you on the kickoff on Radio City Talk tomorrow morning.